What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of Imperfect. And guys, this is a guest I've been wanting to get on the show for a long minute. It's hard to get schedules worked out, but this time, since we have all the COVID stuff going on and we're forced to do Zoom meetings and things like that to do things over online, I finally be able to got him. And it's so exciting because I've been so excited to share this guest with you guys. He's really talented. He's has a lot of stuff going on. I just feel like there's a lot of great knowledge to be shared with him. So we have Parker Kane on the set. How you do? Well, not on the set, but you know, via Zoom.
Yeah, kind of on the set. I'm doing well, man. Thanks for having me on the show. I appreciate it.
Heck yeah, man. I'm so excited to have you here, bro. Like, we've been talking about this forever.
Yeah, since you started your podcast, yeah. Definitely.
You were like literally one of the top three people. Like the first three, I was just like, I need you on. You know, but so kind of diving into it, like we haven't met, but the first time I even saw you goes way back to high school. It was the very first time I saw you, and you were on Pokey's Got Talent. Remember that?
That's crazy, dude. That's like a decade ago, probably.
Doesn't it feel like forever, man?
I think it is a decade.
It's been a fat minute, but it's crazy, man. But I just remember being like sitting in the audience and I was like, whoa. Look, this guy was just beatboxing going. I was like, how is this possible? Like, in fact, I was like, this ain't real. Like, he cheating. There's no way. Like, you know, it was pretty exciting, though. But like, what did you was that like one of your first performances is back in high school?
Yeah. I mean, I started beatboxing when I was 9 years old. But then when I started, I was really shy about it because if you're interested in becoming a beatboxer, you have to know that you're going to look really dumb for a long time while you're trying to learn how to do it. Cause you're trying to do things with your face that is just not normal to do. Right.
Right.
So you just, until you get that under control, then you just kind of look dumb. So, I didn't really want to perform at all. My first time kind of accidentally performing was just waiting in line at lunch, in middle school. I just started beatboxing for some of my friends, and then it turned into a circle, and then it turned into the whole entire cafeteria watching me do it. And then kind of from that point on, you know, just talent shows, school assemblies, that kind of stuff.
That's awesome, man. It's crazy because I feel like, you know, even though we were 4 years apart, because you were senior when I was freshman, but it's kind of like I followed the same footsteps, because once you graduated my sophomore year, I started dancing and doing the same thing, cafeteria, assemblies, you know, just whatever I could get on, you know, high school, just to be able to perform.
Talent shows.
Yeah, talent Wait, shows.
You,
man.
You and I were in some of the same ones, right? In the county.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that was kind of fun doing local talent shows. That's like a good way to like get out there. I don't know why, but like talent shows around Idaho are just like popping. They're all so popular.
And there's big cash prizes. You know, that's an extra $1,000 in your pocket.
Yeah, for real. I'm just like, what? $1,000? Like, this is so crazy, you know?
I mean, you're going to dance or beatbox anyway, right? Might as well go win something.
Exactly, dude. Exactly. So Parker, I know you got a lot on your plate. You know, I know you just graduated college. I know you've been beatboxing. I know you have a podcast. We'll get into all this kind of stuff. But what have you been doing to pass the time out in quarantine?
Honestly, just trying to double down on working from home and podcasting stuff. I really, you know, as much as I think relaxing is needed and having fun is needed, I also think it's needed to kind of keep that mindset of just being productive somehow and make sure that we're still progressing. So I am watching a lot of movies. I'm listening to a lot more podcasts and more songs, watching a lot more live videos from popular people that I follow who are all of a sudden now doing tons of live videos. So I'm definitely on the consumer end of it, but I'm trying as well to be the producer side of it too, and make my own content, make more podcasts, do more things like this with you. That way we're still hanging in there through these hard times.
Right. It's so interesting that like that mindset that someone's like, well, all right, quarantine, we need you to go home for a month. And some people are like, yes, video games. And we're like, yes, more podcasts. Like,
yeah, we're nerds for podcasts, man.
For real, dude. Just gotta. It's for us. It's kind of as terrible as everything's going. It's kind of a good opportunity to continue the conversation and keep going and give out some positive content. You know.
Well, and one thing I know this is kind of a big thing right now too, but the phrase social distancing versus physical distancing, yeah, right? I personally prefer physical distancing to be the phrase, because you and I are still being social right now. Mm-hmm. And so I'm not going as crazy in quarantine as some people, because I am socializing with people every day on Zoom. So,
well, that's a good thing to do, man, because you will go crazy. If I didn't call my mom every day and just kind of talk to somebody, oh my gosh, me and my fiance would kill each other. You know what?
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it's a good phrase to have. I think just like the social distancing is just kind of like you got to cut everybody out, and that's, you just kind of have that mindset to stay home, and you don't really think to reach out as much. And I feel like in kind of this day and age, people don't tend to reach out. It's more like, hey, like, you want to hang out tonight? And then if not, okay, cool, well, next time. Rather mm-hmm. than just being like, yo, like, let's do a Zoom. Let's, like, let's just talk. Let's hang out, you know. And I've done that a couple times too. And then, like you said, it kind of really does help with that mental stress and anxiety of being inside, you know.
Yeah, it's just adding that personal connection to something that's not really personal. We're all just hanging out at home.
Yeah, exactly, right? Just chilling at home. So, Parker, you've had a crazy journey, man. It's crazy to witness, from all the way just seeing you on stage at the high school talent show scene to where you got now. I want you to kind of walk us through kind of how the beatboxing started blowing up. Because I know, yeah, the talent shows and stuff, but then it started getting some fame, which leads to the video. But was there anything like between that time that really started like increasing your beatboxing career?
Actually, I mean, I don't know how deep you want to get on this podcast, or if it's like story centered or how that works, but
dude, talk whatever comes to mind.
It's actually kind of a dark time. You know, I went on an LDS mission for my church for 2 years. And during that time, you know, put a lot of beatboxing opportunities on hold, to go serve, right, you know, a greater purpose and help people. And I went out there, served, I came back home, kind of with this mindset of like, oh yeah, now I'm going to double down on beatboxing. But then I went to college, and in college, you know, I think, and this is why I started my podcast, you know, I want to help people who are just torn between actually pursuing the things that they love, because I've been told my whole life that beatboxing would never amount to anything, and that even though it was cool, it's just a fun talent show thing, right? Like, it was never going to be a career. And so,
right,
part of me started to believe that. And I'm like, well, I can't exactly go study beatboxing in college, so what am I going to do in college? And originally I was thinking nursing. This is a part of my life that not very many people know, but in high school, yeah, I was beatboxing at talent shows, but I was also a lifeguard, and I was also a certified nurse assistant. And I was, wow, pursuing that medical side of like preparing myself for college, preparing for nursing school. And then I got into college and started taking all the preliminary courses and stuff to get into nursing school. And I just hated life. I, man, absolutely hated life. And the more that I put time into college and nursing, and classes, and at that time too, you know, a lot of church stuff, a lot of social, like family home evenings, hangout sessions, friends, like the friends were like my saving grace, because I got so overwhelmed with classes and stuff. But when I wasn't working really hard on school, I was with friends. And so I wasn't doing any beatboxing at all. And I felt like I was suffocating, you know,
right,
I felt like I was losing a very important part of me. So, it actually led to kind of a deep state of, depression, and, the thought of not even being here anymore and how that might be the better decision, you know. And it led to a very, very dark time where I just felt like I was sucking at life. You know, I wasn't doing what I loved. I had no money. I had no girlfriend. I hated school. I didn't even enjoy hanging out with friends, because it meant that I couldn't do any of my beatboxing stuff. I just felt completely suffocated. So it brought me down to a really, really dark time where I wasn't doing it at all. And then, I mean, I'm not sure how much of a spiritual audience you might have, or if you're spiritual, but I said kind of a prayer one day in 2015, October 2015. And it was kind of like my last chance, my last prayer, because for a long time I felt like no one was listening when I prayed. And so this was kind of my last straw. And I was just like, yo, if this is going to work out, if this is what I need to do, if beatboxing is what I need to do, then like there's got to be some kind of sign to let me know that you're there and that you're helping me out and that that's something I need to do and the direction I need to go. And after that prayer, I got invited to go on a Mickey D's run, McDonald's run with some friends at like midnight. And
there it is, man.
And I was just like, you know, that's such a funny answer to a prayer, but I was like, whatever, like I should go do this. And I go with them and my friends are like, hey, can you beatbox with a McDonald's cup? And I was like, yeah. And so I grabbed the cup, I started beatboxing with the cup, and my friend Sean and future roommate at the time, Sean, he filmed it on his phone, posted it on Facebook, and the next morning it was 56,000 views.
Wow.
And that week it was like over 5 million views. And today on Facebook, it's over 1 billion views with all the shares and stuff. And I got a McDonald's commercial and tons of opportunities, all because I said yes to going to McDonald's that night. You
wow.
know? And so I'm just like, that's got to be the answer to that prayer, you know? Like, and that's, I felt really strongly like I was being encouraged to pursue the beatboxing side of it and the more creative side of myself. And so I switched majors and I stopped nursing and I went into communications and started studying like graphic design and audio production and whatever, all that kind of stuff.
That's incredible, man. That's crazy. I always wondered what the behind the story was, and that's crazy. And I never knew you struggled with something like that, but what a blessing, you know. And like you said, it may have been a weird way, but what it amounted to, you know, again, we'll get into some of that stuff, but just seeing what can happen over a video, it's insane. It's just insane.
Yeah. Well, and to what you said too, like that you didn't know, that's what's so scary about like depression and stuff, is sometimes you don't know, dude. Like nobody knew that I was struggling. Like I was keeping up with my brand on social media, and I was trying very hard to portray this image that I was being successful, you know. And I think most everyone's guilty of that. But at that time, for sure, I was, because I was not letting people know that I was struggling. I mean, my own family had no idea.
Right. Yeah, no, that's what we tend to do. I feel like sometimes we use social media to try to, you know, sometimes a lot of people talk about trying to fake it or something like that. But sometimes I think maybe social media can be what we're trying to be, what we want to be. I always try to post things, at least back in the day when I was dancing, to try to be like acting like I was this top notch dancer that I wanted to be, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And some people, yeah, like it was faking. I was trying to like over like, oh, I got this performance, but it was like a thing at a talent show down the street, you know, but I always try to hype it up because I wanted to be that. And so just kind of seeing that similarity there, you know, just trying to maintain this thing, you know?
Yeah. And it all comes to our need to please others too, which is a good thing, but sometimes it's really stupid too. Like you got to focus on pleasing yourself too.
Mm-hmm. Very true, man. Well, I'm so sorry I had to go through that. I'm just happy to see that you made it through and that God answered your prayer, man. That's so amazing to witness in such a unique way, you know?
Yep. And it inspired everything. It pushed me in the direction I feel I need to be going. You know, I would have never, you know, started a podcast. I would have never had any of the speaking opportunities I've had. I wouldn't have learned my new passion for wanting to help people get through times like that and to pursue the things that they love. So ultimately, I mean, it's weird to say, but ultimately I'm grateful for that experience because it shaped me into what I stand for now.
Right. And that's good. I feel like college, sometimes people focus a lot on the career aspect, but I feel like college can be a place where you find out who you want to be. Mm-hmm. You know, like in the same wording as a lot of people downplay, like, oh, people, college students change their major 4 times. To me, it's like that could be a negative, but that can also be a positive in the fact that we're trying to find out who we want to be. You know what I'm saying? It takes you to go to nursing school to be like, I don't want to be a nurse. Like my fiance wanted to be a vet, went to school, doesn't want to be a vet. It's a lot of work, you know?
Yeah, 100% agree with that.
Yeah, heck yeah, man. But you say that you switch over to communications, right?
Mm-hmm.
So communications is, that's the same major I'm getting. And I feel like communications is a really good way for any media person, anybody in doing YouTube or podcast or any kind of art. I feel like communication is a really solid fit because you're going to be doing weird things like thumbnails and designs and choosing a font for your brand and et cetera, you know? So how was, you graduated, right?
Mm-hmm.
You graduated with a communication degree, bachelor's?
Yep, bachelor's in communications. I emphasized in advertising and social media marketing.
Awesome. Yeah, that's perfect. Lily fits it, you know?
Yep. Yep.
So since you graduated, what have you been up to since?
I honestly, that's when a lot of this podcasting stuff took flight. I have a job as well that I've been working at in Idaho Falls for local radio groups and stuff, doing social media. But yeah, that's just kind of been like the normal 9 to 5. And then, you know, 5:30 to midnight, I have my passion projects, my passion jobs, where I'm just learning as much as I can, producing this podcast, trying to figure out, you know, how to separate myself in a very saturated market of a motivational space, you know? So, it's really just been that. It's just been trying to kind of continue that process of figuring out where I stand and then executing and making sure that it all works out.
Right, right. So since you're focusing a lot on the podcast, are you still doing beatboxing?
I've actually kind of stopped a little bit, but I need to get better at that. That's something that comes up pretty frequently. A lot of the guests I've had on my show have talked about, you know, how they create TikTok videos every day, like 3 and 4 times
Ooh,
a day.
I want right? to see you on TikTok, bro. I'll follow you real quick.
But see, that's the thing is I should be creating beatbox videos on TikTok and Instagram and all that stuff. For some reason, I've kind of fallen out of it, but my passion for it has not changed. I still totally love beatboxing.
Right, right. So, like, let's talk about a little bit after this video went viral, like mainstream viral. Everybody, I still talk to people to this day, like my grandparents or mom, and I just be like, you know, I have this friend or I have this guest coming on or whatever, however I talk about you, and be like, oh, cool. And I'm like, you ever see the video, blah, blah, blah. Oh my gosh, that, like, they, you know, like as soon as you say beatboxing McDonald's cup, they're like, yep, I know, like I've seen it. So how was the fame though, or the fame, quote unquote, how was the life after the video went viral? Did you make profits? Did it give you more gigs? Like what was the aftermath of that video going viral?
Yeah. So again, originally, I think that's what inspired the direction I'm in right now, because at the time I was thinking, yes, I'm going to get millions of subscribers on YouTube. I'm going to do beatboxing and music full time. I'm going to collaborate with bigger artists who have millions of subscribers on YouTube. Right.
Right.
None of that happened. None of that. Right. In fact, my subscribership has like barely even grown at all on YouTube.
Really?
You know? It went super viral on Facebook, not YouTube, which is a whole other discussion, because Facebook and YouTube hate each other and they don't make anything. They don't make anything to work well together, which is stupid. Because no offense to YouTube, but they don't have the greatest shareability. I mean, they're good for SEO, but Facebook's better for sharing stuff, right?
Correct. Yeah, because Facebook doesn't like YouTube links. So if you post a link on Facebook, you're not going to get as good engagement rather than post the video directly.
Exactly. So you have to post natively to each platform. And it creates a mess. So my YouTube actually didn't grow at all. But what grew the most was just my inbox and my email. I got tons of people reaching out being like, hey, loved your video. We'd love to book you to come beatbox at an event, or we'd love book you. This was the crazy part. I didn't speak at all in that video. And that video was a very kind of just messing around, being dumb kind of video. It wasn't like a motivational thing or anything.
Right.
But I got a lot of keynote opportunities and speaking opportunities to go talk to youth or to go entertain at corporate events, you know, just communicate with people and speak and share positive messages. And so for like a 2 or 3 year stretch, I was pretty actively, you know, going from event to event to event, beatboxing and speaking. And then as far as like the attention aspect of it, it's weird because I feel like it's cool for people to see that video, but like Joe Blow in Atlanta, Georgia isn't going to know who I am if they saw me on the street. You know, it's not like Taylor Swift status.
Yeah, right.
But in Rexburg specifically, Idaho, in Idaho, it's a completely different story. Still to this day, I cannot go to like the Walmart or something and not have people come up to me and be like, you're the McDonald's guy, right? You're the beatboxer guy. So for BYU Idaho, for Rexburg, Idaho, it's kind of like a fame-ish type thing, you know? It's definitely died down, but yeah, it's specific to that location. Outside of here, no one really knows. I mean, I could go to Idaho Falls even, and people have no idea.
That's wild. So was there going, because you always hear good things, which it sounds like there was a lot of good things. You got a lot of keynotes and got a lot of performances and things like that. But was there anything negative that came from that viralness? Was there any tension with your friends? Was there any death threats? Was there any negative side of this viral sensation?
Actually, I would say the number one negative thing that happened is people pretty much making up an image in their head that I'm like a jerk or something, you know? Like now I'm a big deal, so now I'm cocky and mean and whatever, right? Right. And it's like, I never once thought, oh yeah, no, I'm a big deal, guys. Like, you have to sign up to be a friend of mine. Like, I never once adopted that mindset. And I've tried really, really hard actually to do the opposite. Actually, in Pocatello at the Stevens Performing Arts Center, I was able to meet Andy Grammer at one of his concerts, and he was one of the nicest dudes I've ever met, you know? And I remember promising myself, like, if I ever become any kind of celebrity or public figure or whatever, I want to be like him. I want to be someone who's chill and nice and calm and genuine. I do not ever want to turn into a jerk and like use it as a way to get what I want all the time. Right.
Right.
So it was just kind of interesting because I know that I'm not doing that, but somehow with getting that kind of attention, people just started saying that I was, and people were afraid to meet up with me. People were afraid to meet me. Like, I'm still single, but like, yeah, throughout my time here in Rexburg, I've been wanting to date and meet friends and meet girls. And, I have had more than probably 20 or 30 experiences where the girl was like, I was so scared to meet you, you know, because I thought you'd be a jerk or whatever. Like so-and-so said so such and such about you. So there was a lot of talk and a lot of negative talk that was just completely unnecessary. And then with friends and family, I mean, I actually was just talking about this the other day with one of my high school friends. He opened up with me about how hard it was even in high school to like walk from one end of the high school to the other end of the high school with me because he felt, you know, ignored and like everyone knew who I was because I was the beatboxer in that talent show. And so everyone's like, oh, hey, Parker, what's up? And it's band, football, choir, mathletes, any of those people, right? Everyone in high school knew who I was for the beatboxing stuff. And so I didn't realize that like all my friends felt super ignored or like they didn't even want to go places with me because they knew that they'd be on the back burner, you know?
Right.
And so that kind of disappeared when I went on my mission and went to college. But when that viral video happened, it
came all back.
It came back to college. Yeah. Like now I have friends who don't want to be seen with me places because they feel like I'm just some big shot and they don't matter, which isn't true at all. But
yeah.
What can you do though too? Like when someone comes up and asks for a picture with you and like all your friends just stand there watching you like, okay, well, let's get this done and then we'll go get our milk and eggs.
What do you do? Well, yeah, but I feel like if they're good friends, it should just take one simple conversation to be like, you know, this is the lifestyle. This is my life. And either you have to accept this or you don't, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's just the butt end of it. I mean, even at this point, it sounds like if you want it or not, like you said, people are going to walk up. Like, it's just going to happen. Like, you have a video with 1 billion views. So I feel like it's just going to tend to happen throughout time that people will just come up to you if, you know, like it or not type thing.
Yeah. Well, and I've worked really hard to be better at introductions and stuff, you know, where if people do come up and I am with someone, then it's just like, hey, this is my sister, Haley. Hey, this is my friend, Sean, you know, like...
And try to include them.
Yeah, and in a way, just be like, look, this is my posse, you know, this is my group, this is my agency, this is everyone I surround myself with, you know, and just try to introduce people better, instead of just like, oh yeah, I'll go take a picture and then just leave my friends for a hot minute, you know, like,
right. But again, you know, like things like, I feel like that's just going to happen. You know what I'm saying? But like, they're your friends, they're your family, they know, you know, yeah. at least you would assume that they know that things like this happen. And like, if I, you know, if I were to walk with you or something like that would happen, I'm like, this badass dude, this guy is just killing it. You know, like I would feel good to be like just around a really cool guy that other people, you know, have genuinely enjoyed a 30, 45 second video from a McDonald's thing, you know, like it'd just be like an awesome moment. But
I appreciate that. I feel like that's a good compliment, you know. Another thing too is it just kind of opened my eyes to actual celebrities.
like
now when I hear gossip in the news or media, or when I hear someone get exploited for something or called out on something, I'm just like, you know, how much of that is actually true versus talk? Mm-hmm. And also, like, what is it like to be their family? You know, what's it like to be this person's wife or husband? Or what's it like to be their kids? You know, there's a lot of famous people out there who have kids that are just going to like normal schools and growing up, and they have to live their whole life being like, oh, your dad is such and such, you know? Like it's got to be kind of hard on families and friends and stuff, but what can you do?
Yeah, literally, what can you do? That's just that lifestyle. And you could say as many times as you want, like, oh, it's just, they're just humans. And I can say that, like, they're just another human being. Like, they got a platform, blah, 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 blah. Until it's like I'm shaking hands with my celebrity, being like, oh, my God, like, I've listened to every album, you know? Like, and you're just, like, freaking out. And that there's something internally about seeing something you've seen online or go famous or something that when you see them in person, it kind of takes over you. And I'm sure there's probably some like literally labels for that, but there's just something there that kind of changes a human to just be out and exciting and adrenaline. And you just like want to shake their hand and you need a picture, you know, and you see a lot of celebrities kind of fighting back with that now. It's like, you know, like Logic made a song about, hey, instead of like wanting to get a picture, how about you come up, shake my hand, and let's have a conversation. But most people are like, yeah, I'd rather get a picture. Like, you know, like it's kind of,
there is that element too. Like one of my biggest pet peeves, dude. I'm just going to say it, but one of my biggest pet peeves through that experience, but also just anywhere I go, is being treated kind of like a circus monkey, for lack of better terms. Like, hey, do this trick for us and then be gone, right?
Yeah, literally.
And that's what would happen. Like, I'd go to Walmart. I use that as an example because that's like all Rexburg has, right?
Right. Like,
somewhere to go. But when I'd go places and people would see me and recognize me, they'd be like, hey, you're the McDonald's beatboxer. You're the McDonald's guy. You're the beatboxer. It's like they didn't even know my name, right? And then they'd pull out their Snapchats and they'd be like, hey, could you beatbox real quick? Hey, could you beatbox my name? Hey, can you say happy birthday to so-and-so? And then they get and then they leave.
you know? They're just like, all right, cool.
Yeah, and you're just like, okay, cool. Do you know my name? Could you say thank you for that? Like, did you want to talk? We could hook up a collaboration. Like, there's so much more conversation to be had that definitely doesn't happen. People just go for the trick and then bounce.
Yeah, I believe it, man. I just feel like that's a lot of what happens. Like, if I'm walking down the street and I see NF or Macklemore or some rapper across from me, more than half of my body is going to be like, I need to go run towards him now and get a picture. Like, that's just like, I need to show that I met him, you know. But the more and more, of course, you're becoming educated about this. I want to be that guy that comes up and be like, hey, like, that video was awesome, man. Like, how you been? Like, trying to have that conversation element, because I think that's what we want to be. You don't want to be a circus monkey. We want to be someone that, you know, people look up to or something like that, you know, in a better way than just, I need a picture. I need that 20 seconds of fame on my Instagram, my Snapchat, which is, you know, I know it's not as black and white in that, but I feel like there's a very large portion of humans that just want those extra likes. And a big way to get it is when you run across a celebrity, you know, and to get that picture, you know.
Yep. And even with silly things, like with what goes viral, you know, like me beatboxing with a McDonald's cup is not like a life-changing thing, right? It's just some weird, silly thing that people obsessed over. And that's kind of what's going on right now with like quarantine and with Netflix and Tiger King, right? Like all this stuff going on, like it's kind of stupid, but it's viral. And so people want to be all over it.
Yeah. I mean, that's literally all of TikTok. I mean, you watch, like you show that to a parent or a grandparent, they're like, this is stupid. Like, what is this? Like, but to me, it's so funny because they just take these moments of inconvenienced humans or whatever it may be to make something slightly funny for 8 seconds. And you're just like, oh my gosh. But it just also probably comes with our attention spans are so much shorter. Instead of being like, let's go watch this, you know, 3-hour documentary about X and learn all these things, rather than just being like, oh my gosh, you see this 8 second, it's amazing. Like, you know.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah, it's a weird time, but I'm just happy to hear that most of it went good. You know what I'm saying? It's good to hear that when you go viral, at least some opportunities came about it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and I'll share another quick story with you if you're down.
Yes, go ahead.
Just of an example of something good that can happen. So this was actually before the viral video, but I still think it stands as a really good example. In a time where I was releasing some music videos and stuff, and it was getting maybe 1,000 views, I'd be like, oh, like why do I spend 3 weeks of production and planning and money and all this stuff on something that's going to go nowhere, you know? And it's very, very discouraging for artists to do that. So this is not part of the story, but just kind of an encouragement for anyone listening, whether or not like you are someone who shares or likes or comments or whatever, like, just understand that the person posting those things put in probably a lot of work to post those things, and it's worth the like, you know, you can tap your finger for someone who put a month of effort into a piece of content for you to enjoy. Right. So it's worth the like. But anyway, to get into the story, at a time where I was discouraged to post things because I thought no one was seeing it, I was actually at a restaurant in Rexburg, and this mom and her daughter came up to me while I was eating at the table with my friends. And the mom was just like, hey, Parker, when you get a chance, come talk to me and my daughter. Like, we'd love to hear from you. Just before you check out, make sure to come talk with us. And I was like, okay, cool. Spaced it. I mean, I ate at the table too long with my friends, kind of spaced it, went to leave. But as I was checking out, the mom and daughter came up to the counter with me, and they're like, hey, before you go, like, I just really wanted to introduce you to my daughter, Kiana. And I was like, okay, hey, Kiana, like, how's it going? And I was just so weirded out because I hadn't had a viral video. These people were not in like my church or my school or anything. So I'm just like, how do they know me, you know? And the mom said, she was like, so my daughter, Kiana, she has, you know, such and such health issues, and she's in and out of primary children's all the time. And her favorite thing to do to go to bed at night is to fall asleep watching your music videos on YouTube. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is insane, you know? And it was bone chilling. And it was all I could do to just like hold the tears back, honestly, because I was in a state of, no one watches what I do, nobody cares. And now this amazingly touching story is happening and experience is happening. And so they wanted my autograph. They had me sign one of the restaurant napkins. They took a picture with me. On their way out, the mom was like, we're going to hit up the dollar store, get a frame. We're going to frame this, you know, in your hospital room. And it was just a really, really touching experience. So I guess the lessons learned there is you just never know who's listening, right? Mm-hmm. You just never know.
It's so interesting because I think the same thing, you know, me and you have a lot of this, the same thing, because when you were shooting music videos, I was putting a lot of money in videographers, renting spaces, things like that for dance videos. But it's so interesting too, even just podcasting now, I hit between 20 to 50 listeners on YouTube, and I used to get discouraged, but now at that same thing, that same moment, it takes that one person that 20 to 50 views One person probably genuinely has been watching all your podcast. One person probably genuinely watches the entire podcast. That one person can be really getting help and really be enjoying it, but they're just not an engager. And I see that a lot more in communications. People just don't engage anymore. I'm one of those. I scroll through Facebook. I go through YouTube. I go through Instagram.
You tap through all the stories like that.
Yeah, exactly. And I never like anything. I never comment anything. I never engage in anything. It's just to, I don't know. It's just like one of those things that people just aren't engaging anymore. So you just kind of have to just have faith and believe that someone really is watching, somebody really does like your content and move on type thing, you know?
Yeah. Sorry. Well, I'm just trying to pull up my, what hosting platform do you use for your podcast?
I used to use Podbean, but I recently switched because Podbean does cost money and they only give you two platforms, I believe. Don't quote me on that. But now I went over to Anchor. Because now my stuff can be on eight platforms. On top of that, they offer like easier like sponsorships and things like that, and it's overall free. So,
okay, awesome. Mm-hmm. Cause I use Libsyn.
Yeah,
that's been the only one I've ever used. So that's all I really know, but it's been nice. I just wanted to pull up my analytics and just show you because you said something. Really important. Just that it only takes one person, you know?
Mm-hmm. It just takes that. And that's why, like, as long as I have, like, one like on each video, it's, you know that, the, like, there's just one person that you really, and, you know, I keep trying to drag people out of their shadows. I'm like, leave a comment. Like, who are you? I want to, like, thank you for watching the podcast. I want to thank you for being a supporter, but sometimes they just like to watch their content and bounce, you know?
This might be kind of hard to see, but I'll try.
Let's see it.
Let's see. Can you see that?
Whoa, that spike? Yeah. that's a fat spike.
That's what I'm saying. Crazy. That's, you know, that's probably 8 months of consistent load numbers.
Right.
And then bam, right?
What happened that day? What was going on? New podcast? Special
guest?
It was a
special guest. It was actually John Jay from the radio show John Jay and Rich. You know, he talked about it on his nationwide radio show.
Wow.
And then, boom, you know, hit the top of the iTunes charts for a week and then converted over a lot of new listeners, right?
All right.
So, but 8 months before that of just like, what's good? Like, is this worth it? And then bam, something like that happens. And recently I just interviewed David Meltzer and there was another spike. He's a really big deal, like top 10 in the world entrepreneur, right? And you just never know where things can go. And if I just completely put off beatboxing, I wouldn't have had a viral video. And if I just got lazy with podcasting, then I wouldn't have had a guest like that who brought so many more listeners and made it more of an opportunity for me, right? So it just takes one person. But even if you don't have that massive spike or even if you don't have that viral video, there's still those Kianas out there falling asleep to your videos. You know, there's still those people out there that you just don't know it.
Yeah, that's very true, man. So like as a communications major and as a content creator, we can kind of play into this conversation, but like, what do you think about this whole, you know, you've done it, I've done it, we spent, you know, thousands of dollars of bringing in a video production crew, setting up lighting, setting up a scripting process, hiring the right people, renting out a venue or a place or whatever. You shoot this whole video, right? It takes months, right? And then you get this final product. It might be, you know, 4 or 5 minutes, right? Compared to if I were to go on TikTok, which I have, I only have 2 TikToks, just to kind of play with it, and it blows my mind. I have no followers, didn't even share it, still have not shared it. In fact, this is the first time I'm talking about it publicly, but just to like, whatever, like I had a funny idea, whatever, bored in quarantine. So I post it. The second one gets 350 views in the first hour. And I'm like, what? And I'm thinking back to that moment, that Gage that spent all of that time putting in that effort and that money and that stuff in there to this, for example, a new beginning, still on YouTube, 300 views. And that one took over $1,000 and months of planning.
Dang.
Like, isn't it crazy, though, to just be that? Like, isn't it weird just to kind of watch this as a media, as a communications person, as to see someone that can go viral over a 6-second TikTok compared to somebody that spends practically people years to craft a talent like podcasting and things to actually make it through that barrier? Like, what's your thought on that?
I think it's really interesting. I think we're living in a time of just, you know, almost too much content.
Right. Right.
Like, there's just so much at our fingertips. And I think in order to thrive, which just, this is stuff that I really got to work on, because I'm a perfectionist and I just post things when I really feel they're ready, which I wouldn't suggest. I need to, that's one of my flaws I need to work on. But in order to really thrive online, like, you have to post all the time, and it doesn't really even matter quality. You just have to do it and
exactly
and be posting it all the time. And with, as far as adding quality, I still think, you know, it's necessary to get good microphones, to get good cameras, but not to be completely limited by that. But once you have it, just figure out a workflow that's fast, and you just put those quality things to a routine thing where you're just like boom, 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 creating new content rather than spending a lot of time to try to like produce something.
Right. That's kind of what I was talking about, is that quality over quantity. If I wanted to, I can just do phone interviews, forget the mics, forget the thing, just do it over the phone, hit screen record, do my friends, do just anybody with a different name. Just get as many humans, upload 5 times a week compared to actually actively searching for guests that I think fit the show, that I think will actually give my listeners something to learn from, etc. And just do 2 a week with a video portion that takes hours to edit. You know what I'm saying? Right? Like, it's just like this weird dichotomy. It's like, oh yeah, you do a lot of good quality stuff. Well, our algorithm doesn't really like you. This guy that uploads 5 TikToks a week, just 1 little 6-second TikTok, he's going to get the algorithm. You know?
Yep. Yeah, it's definitely, I mean, I'm trying to figure all that stuff out too. I still really value quality. I think whether people admit it or not, they like quality. Like, if you were trying to listen in to Donald Trump or the news or media or your favorite TV show and it all sounded like garbage, then it is, you know, much less ideal. Like, you think of what your favorite TV show is on Netflix or Hulu or something, and if it all sucked, then, then you would not really want to watch it. So I think in some way or another, you need both. And maybe for really quick short stuff on TikTok, a cell phone video is more, you know, more accepted. But if you're trying to become a YouTube television series or something, then you need to kind of up the game a little bit with quality. But yeah, again, not wasting tons of time with that to make it quality. Just make sure you have the right equipment and then figure out how to use it and produce things really quickly. That's probably what's going to be more beneficial. Just my thoughts.
Right. Yeah, because I just feel like we're in a, me and you don't have a movie studio. We don't have a team to make a very profound movie or music video, for that instance, to make it absolutely stunning like all the, you know, top level A-listers or B-listers do. But at the same time, like, we don't want to go down and kind of feed the quantity. We want to give people good quality, because we might, you know, someone might listen to us and like, oh, they'll have a good laugh, but we want them not to just have a good laugh. We want them to actively become a solid listener, follow on, follow our journey, subscribe, rather than just like kind of enjoying it for a moment. So yeah. It's kind of interesting that, you know, we did that. So with those, because you did quite a few of those YouTube videos for a minute, I feel like you were just releasing them, and they were really solid too. Like, it looks like you put in a lot of work. Did you have an official videographer, or did you just teach your friend to really do good with some camera work?
So our See You Again video, our cover that I did with Preston, who you've also had on the show, that one was like a $2,500 video, my grandparents, my sister, myself, my mom, like, we all just kind of pitched in money to hire this video team from Logan, Utah, to literally come up to Pocatello High School's auditorium and have a day filming with us. Right. And that was just video. we paid probably between $500 and $600 on audio production, and Haley got a new dress, and like we put in a lot of money and effort and practice to get these four people's schedules going. And it was fairly successful. You know, it's probably one of my most watched cover videos on YouTube. However, I think that was, you know, 4 years ago when maybe quality YouTube covers like that was a bit more important than what it currently is now. You know, now people are just doing quick little live song covers and those do a lot better. However, that was also lesson learned because we never did that again.
Right.
So our next cover videos, yes, it was a dedicated videographer. I'll give him a shout out. His name's Ryan Carr, C-A-R-R. I think his Instagram is at Ryan Carr.
Isn't he based in the number Boise?
Eight. He's in Rexburg. Well, he was in Rexburg, but now he actually lives in Utah. I'm not even sure where in Utah, but but he was a student going in for videography. But just a little bit about him, and I hope he doesn't mind that I'm talking about him like this, but I did not think he was very good right at first. But his passion and his quality of person, of human being, he was absolutely phenomenal. He's like, I want to make music videos. I want to get all the right stuff. I want to, you know, work with you and your sister and your friends and make the best quality stuff that I can. And he was just passionate and a really good, genuine guy who I knew was never going to screw us over. Right.
Right.
And
right.
And in the last 4 years, he has grown to be, you know, and honestly, this is not just like a plug or me trying to be fake about it. This is like for sure in my life who in a group of people and everyone that I've ever met in my entire life, there's the way to say it. He is the best videographer that I personally know. And
Awesome.
I'm sure there are really good ones who I don't know. Right. But, and anyone that I personally know, he is the best videographer, and he has grown to be wildly talented, wildly successful. And he, for the last, you know, four years or so has done every single one of my videos, for free. And we've just helped each other grow as much as we can. And if he ever needs anything, I'll do it. And if I ever need anything, he'll do it. And so he and I created a really good connection just through networking. Music-wise, we ended up going through the same studio that Preston uses a lot. It still costs money, but it's more like $200, $250. So when I do those kinds of videos, mainly we're just paying $250 of actual money. And then we just put in, you know, anywhere between 1 to 3 weeks of time, of practices, of rehearsals, of filming shoots, all that. So it's about 2 or 3 weeks of time and $250. But that is significantly less than like $3,000 and like months.
Yeah, that was my first, I didn't learn it right off the bat, but I rented the Stevens Performing Arts Center, which of course you know, and it wasn't cheap. And then on top of that, hired a bunch of dancers and a videographer. And I was like, this is the one. This is going to be the one. So much money. I feel like sometimes beginner artists at least kind of have this idea, the more money, the more return. Very not true. Very, very not true. I know podcasters that are popping off with their cell phone ear pod things. Like it's just, you know, it's the content itself that I think people in one way or another will try to try to get. But it's just interesting to know that you can put a ton of work. So I'm relating this back to when you say just leave a like. That's really all I wanted. Like I was just like, please somebody just like enjoy this thing that I just put so much time, money, effort, and things, you know. It's a lot.
Yeah. It is a lot. So it's mainly just even a respect thing. Like even if it's not your favorite video you saw that day. It's worth, you know, tapping your finger on the screen because somebody put a month of effort into it. So,
exactly.
Or even just the journey, right? Maybe they're putting out videos every single day and it's easy for them now, but they went through years and years and years of bullcrap to get to that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And like you said too, at the beginning, it's just the market's so saturated, you know, it's just so filled. I'm one of thousands of dancers just being like, hey, like my video. And like, as a consumer, you're like, I can't like everybody's, you know? So yeah. It's hard, you know, it's hard to kind of break through and try to get somebody's attention, you know?
Yeah. Well, and the good thing is though, and this goes back to why it's worth it to do quality sometimes, as a creator, you learn so much. You know, like I know a lot about video and audio production and pretty much anything in the creative space. And to be honest, I'm not trying to bash, you know, this is a whole other topic, but I didn't learn very much of it in school at all. Like it was just YouTube videos. It was working with other people. It was getting into it, buying equipment, selling equipment. Like I just learned what I could. And now, you know, there's a future of... I mean, you can look at it this way, and this is how I'm looking at it, but I'm saying this is what you could do too. I know a lot about it, and I'm not necessarily breaking through yet. So what can I do? Well, I can help other people do it, and they could pay me money, right? So I've created a podcast production service that I'm calling Canecast, and it's basically like I'm going to businesses saying, hey, do you want what I do? You know, like, right. Do you want this podcast? Do you want these guests? Do you want this microphone? Like, I will, for X amount of money, I will hook you up with everything I have and you don't have to do any of the work. Right.
Heck yeah.
And so it's kind of like, well, if I was just doing cell phone videos my whole life, I wouldn't have a freaking clue about any of this stuff.
Right.
So,
very true.
So
very
you, true. You also have to pick what you want to learn about. And double down. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so like, yeah, because you went to school, BYUI, right? For communications. So yeah, with that degree, like, do you think it's helped more, or do you think the YouTube and the things you've learned a lot more from?
My own experiences, 100%. So far, I mean, maybe my degree will come in handy as I'm looking to move, as I'm looking for jobs, as I'm looking to settle down, you know, as my life progresses, maybe it'll come into play. But as of right now, it has not done anything for me.
Right. That's been a very hot subject on this podcast. I probably only, out of all the guests I've had, 28 now, I probably had two or three that have not gone to college. Every single other one has been to college and or graduated. And I like to have this conversation too. It's just like, is it like, has it been worth it? And it's cool to know that like, not only have you like been through it, you also graduated and you're just like, you know, still kind of, you know, cause honestly from my side, I'm going for communications to graduate this May.
Yeah.
Video wise, I am, you know, I do video now and I do podcast, right? Video, nothing has what I can think of, maybe subconsciously, maybe I'm a little bit more professional, whatever, but, nothing is transferred over. The reason I have all these weddings, the reason I've done these commercials, the reason I've done all these things, the reason I have a website full of work is because I went out and reached out to people. I went out, tried, failed. Then when I wanted to learn specific movements, specific things about filmmaking, you go to YouTube. And YouTube, yep, like, teaches you everything you ever need to know.
YouTube and University.
YouTube University. It's so underplayed, but, like, just it teaches you anything and everything. And with people that have been in the industry, Peter McKinnon, Casey Neistat, like, those big YouTubers that make film videos and things like that. They reveal everything. Yep. And then there's a conversation, why pay $40,000+ to go to school when there's people doing online, like, schoolings now? You know, there's people that have like a whole like, I forgot what we call them, like e-learning, but like you like pay
$200.
Masterclasses, yes.
Yeah, you'd, it's like a $100 masterclass or $40,000 of college, you know? Like, I mean, and it's just this weird dynamic because no, I don't feel like the education or the degree or anything like that has done anything for me. But me being here has, like, if I never came here, I would have never had that viral video, right? But then also just the connections that I've made, like Ryan, the videographer, right? Like a lot of it was just networking. So if you are going to go to college, just double down on the networking. But at the same time, you can network without college. So,
it's this weird thing. I feel like maybe it is just like a kind of find out who you are. My last guest was just like, yeah, college was like, I learned something, but it's like, I found out who I was. I met other people that want the same thing as I do, a successful career. They're willing to put money on the line to try to better themselves. So I think you're right. I think that's just the biggest argument. If someone's like, you know, should I go to college? And well, if it's not for a trade, right? That's the biggest difference. You're going to college to be a doctor, duh. Are you going to go to college for a trade, for an art form? That can be debatable because, you know, what has it done? What has it not?
Yeah.
I don't know, you know?
Exactly. Definitely just situational, depends on the person. But yeah, if you're doing something important that like being a doctor or something, then definitely go to college. But creatives, you know, who knows, just getting places and talking to people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you don't want to like YouTube how to have heart surgery or something like that. Like you don't want to be doing that.
Yeah, but also just building credibility, you know, like any job that I've had, any opportunity I've had to go speak or beatbox somewhere, they're always looking at my LinkedIn and my YouTube and my Instagram, and they want to see what kind of person I am. And then they see, oh my gosh, he's doing all these things and he's super credible. So we want to do that. What they don't see and what they don't give a crap about is where I went to school at.
Yeah.
You know?
Isn't that very true? Because you've done a couple of things. I know you did that 50 over 50, right? Or 50 under, or something like that. Do you remember? You came to the Performing Arts Center for it.
Yes, yeah, so I've done a few things there. I actually think it was the 30 under 30 or something.
There it is. Yeah.
But then the Kids Matter event, too, where they honor like kids doing amazing things. So I've done a few events at the Performing Arts Center.
You haven't done a TED Talk yet, right?
I've done one official TED Talk, and then I have another TED Talk or another TED performance where it wasn't a talk, but I was just there to beatbox.
Perform. See, that's so wild, dude. That's so interesting. I've been to a couple of TED Talks as a consumer, and it's just like they're really interesting.
Yeah, you know? They'd be amazing to have on podcasts, you know?
Right?
Yeah.
It's so interesting, man. But So aside from that, I know you got the gigs. I know you got some opportunities and things. Did you make, and this might be too personal, but did you make any income off of that viral sensation from it specifically? Did it account or transfer over in any kind of profit?
You know, as far as YouTube goes, I made money on it, but it was less than $500. And I can say that because, YouTube monetization, in my opinion, unless you are like a Casey Neistat or someone who's just making tons and tons of money through tons and tons of active and loyal viewers who will buy all of your affiliate links and everything.
Right.
Like it just does not really do that much. So out of my entire YouTube video, I probably made less than $500 on YouTube from that viral video. And then the McDonald's commercial, that one was pretty up there. That one was like $12,000.
Holy shoot, man.
Where they paid to have me come and film a commercial, you know?
Yeah, like how did that even happen? Did they just DM you or?
So it was an email, and he set up a phone call with me, and I'm not even sure what his position was, but he pretty much said thank you. He was like, look, thank you for your viral video because our Coke sales are through the freaking roof. Like
what?
Like
you made a wave in the food industry, bro. That is crazy. Yeah,
because it was a free commercial for them, you know?
Right.
It was a
free marketing.
I mean, viral video on Facebook, over a billion views. It was totally free to them, you know?
Wow.
And so he was just like, thank you, thank you, thank you. Now what we could do is just, I mean, he didn't say this, but this is my process in my mind. But what they could do is they could just drop me and be like, thanks. Thanks for all the free stuff, you know?
Right.
Or they could do something for me. And so they offered to do something for me. And they were like, look, thank you for what you did. We appreciate it. We want to give you this opportunity to have your own McDonald's commercial. And they actually created a cup for me too. There was a cup
mic on the side
with the microphone on the side, and just the whole experience. Like they wanted to give me some exposure. They wanted to add some credibility to my resume. They were very, very, very nice. And they flew me and my sister to Los Angeles for 3 days, and the film shoot was only like a couple hours, but other than that, we were just there for 3 days hanging out.
That's awesome.
Networking and meeting people, and we had drivers taking us everywhere, and it was kind of a surreal thing, you know. And that's actually what my TED Talk is about, is just going, you know, it's called Lights, Camera, Passion instead of Lights, Camera, Action. And it's right. just like, you know, I went from being a quote unquote nobody in Idaho to right. being on this, you know, international film set for a video that was going to be played all over the internet, you know? So
wow,
it was remarkable. But yeah, they paid me. It helped me out, you know, with tough financial times, with getting me through school. It helped out a lot. So I'm very grateful to McDonald's for that. And then other than those two things, the YouTube and the commercial, the only money I've made has been through events and beatboxing and speaking opportunities that have come from it.
Right.
So not directly from it did I make money, but just the opportunities that continue still to this day to stem up out of nowhere.
So at least it transferred over in some way.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, that's wild. So, because you posted it, it was on your friend's Facebook account, if I remember, like originally, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Is it still, or did he delete it and you posted it, or like how did that work out?
It was just his. Actually, since we're talking about quality and not quality on this podcast, at that time, I was largely mentally in the space of I only want to post quality. Like, I want to post professional music videos on my channel. I don't want to post garbage like what I made in that McDonald's, right?
Right.
In my mind, that video was not good quality. So I was like, no, I don't want to post it. So he just posted it on his Facebook and it took off. And I was like, oh my gosh, like maybe quality doesn't really matter, you know? Mm. And so I never reposted it on my Facebook. I've just shared his and just continued to fuel that fire. But I did, however, post it on YouTube later than Facebook when I was like, oh shoot, like this is actually working. So I'm gonna put it on YouTube now. It's one of those huge, huge lessons, you know, like you just got to be out there posting. It shouldn't matter all the other stuff.
Right. Because I think Facebook has a monetization, but it never got monetized, did it?
No. Well, and monetization didn't exist in 2015 when it kind of took off. So that's kind of a new thing. But yeah, Facebook didn't do anything to pay me for anything other than
they're just like, thank you for the tons of ads. And
No, I honestly, we don't have to get into this too deep, but I have a real problem with with Facebook and YouTube's arguments and with kind of how biased and crappy Facebook and Instagram can be.
It's
overall, it's a free, fun platform and we should be grateful, but they do some shady stuff.
They really do. It really sucks. Like, even Elon Musk is like, nah, Facebook sucks. Like, you shouldn't use it. And then someone was like, dude, you have a Tesla page on Facebook. And he was like, oh, and then he deleted the page. Like, he does not want Tesla on Facebook. Like, he just, it's so weird. And it, like you said, it's so annoying how, like, okay, Facebook, and it's weird too, like copyright issues too. I don't know if you run into that, but YouTube's a lot more open compared to Facebook. I'll post a dance video on Facebook. Facebook's like, And I'm like, okay, well, I'll post on YouTube, share the link. And now Facebook's like, Like, what do you want from me? Like,
yeah.
You know, and another thing too, I don't know if you noticed this. You have a Facebook page, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever noticed that, first of all, the engagement sucks, right? And people yes, like
10
people,
times worse.
Right? People like your page. Like, they like your page, meaning they want to be updated about your page. I hate that you go in there and when you boost a post, they have an option there that says boost to the people that like your page. Why do I have to pay to get content out to the people that like my page? These are people that already want to see my content. You want me to pay for them to see my own content that they liked and want to see?
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Shady stuff, dude. And it's worse on Instagram, you know, their ever seemingly weekly changing algorithm. It's just a joke. I mean, it should be, okay, here's a platform, post your pics, have fun. Right. But instead, what it is every week we're going to change it.
Right.
And only the people who are clued in with, you know, employees at Instagram are going to be successful. Or, you know, they've come out even about favoring certain niches. Like if you are a clothing brand, or if you are a hot girl in a bikini. Or if you have that blue check mark, like everything is just catered to you, right?
Yep.
But if you're a chubby white beatboxer in the middle of nowhere, Idaho, then your content's not going anywhere. It's not even going to get to your own freaking followers.
Yeah, it's so bad, man. That's my explore page. Yeah, I unfollowed every there's a lot of celebrities that I love, but they post a lot of bikini, a lot of sexual things, whatever. So I just unfollowed a lot of people on my main Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
And still, I go to the explore page. It's like, do you like all of these? I'm like, what is this? I'm like, show me some gaming content or something. Like, I follow all these gamers. Never in my explore pages are gay. There's nothing. It's always blue check marks. Oh, Chrissy Teigen, Kim Kardashian. Why do I care? Like, yeah. What?
Yep. Well, and that's, I mean, I kind of had an experiment with that. For a long time, I debated creating a separate page for my podcast,
right?
Which I haven't done on Facebook yet, but I'm still debating it. I did create a separate Instagram account. I mm-hmm. only follow and engage with people in that niche on that Instagram account, right?
Right.
And you'd think that my Explore feed would be tons of entrepreneurs and podcasters and all these things. Hardly any of it. I mean, Gary Vaynerchuk somehow is still slipping through there all the time, and I see Gary Vee all the time. But other than that, I get the same thing. I get crap I don't care about.
That is so
insane. Like, do you want this body lotion? Do you want this tank top? Do you want to see Kim Kardashian, what she's doing next? And it's like, no, I don't like or engage with any of that. And somehow I'm still getting it. And then when you try to look up anything, they're like, oh, well, I mean, your Discover page is a direct reflection of what you're interested in. It's like, no, it's not.
Yeah, I know. It's so not. It's so interesting. And I think that's one reason us communication people or people in the industry of media are really, at least the idea, and it's working, but TikTok, in the fact that, like I said, I posted that TikTok talk, right? No followers, never shared it, still won't, probably won't. But it's like, it's
somehow
funny, right?
It blew up.
But yeah, but if you notice, I don't know if you use TikTok at all, but when you scroll every 15, 20 TikToks, you'll find this TikTok that has zero likes, zero views. Like, TikTok likes to just share everything. So if you have like zero views, they're like, nuh-uh, you got to at least have a couple hundred. We got you. And so they'll like put you on. So every once in a while, you'll run into a thing with zero, like two views and zero likes. And then you're like, oh, this is funny, you know? And then you continue, but they're giving even the lowest of low creators able to get viewed, which is interesting.
I think it's awesome. You know, I'm actually, again, I was saying earlier, I need to get on there and start posting, which is true. I need to do that. But for like the last 3 to 6 months, I've been on there consuming content.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah.
And I just love it. You know, the chubby white dude in the middle of nowhere, Idaho, has a chance on TikTok, you know,
yes,
to get out in front of people. Whereas on Instagram, that's, if you think you're going to succeed on Instagram like that, then it's just a joke. They have their hands too much in the pot, and they're just deciding exactly what happens, which is stupid, honestly. Yep.
It really is, man. I have the podcast on Facebook. I have the podcast on Instagram, and I also post to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and like a couple other ones. But the only thing that's really worked for me to really like announce like the new podcast, or whatever, is Instagram stories. Not mm-hmm. even I'll post a picture on Instagram and it might just be the like engagement, but regardless of that, it's the stories that I know people are actually watching, and they I'll put a countdown for each guest. I see that they're tapping it and reminding themselves. I'm like, okay, like this works. Now I put out the same content on Facebook and they're just like one like. And I'm like, 200 plus people liked my page. And I know for a fact a lot of these people are watching and listening to the podcast, but they're just not getting that picture. Like, I'll be like, hey, like my grandpa watches every podcast, right? Hey, Grandpa, did you see that thing on Facebook? Because I know I made him like the page, right? He's like, no, I never seen your stuff. I'm like, why?
Yeah, like, my mom says the same thing. She's like, I never see your stuff. You know, I'm like, well, It's because I'm being hidden in the algorithm because I'm not a hot Kardashian in a freaking bikini. So
I ask that all the time. I'm like, babe, wouldn't it just be so much easier if I was just some sexy female? This would be so much easier.
Honestly, I mean, I don't know. Even then, like, I'm sure all the blue check marks get more. Because I'm sure there's tons. Well, there are tons of girls who are trying to be successful influencers and models and product endorsers and selling products and stuff. And they're having a freaking hard time doing it, too, just because
that's very true.
Instagram favors a certain set of them, you know? Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I just think it's stupid that they favor it all. There should be no kind of bias like that, but there definitely is. And
yeah, I just
it exists on everything, but especially Instagram and Facebook.
Yeah. I feel like if someone follows something, you know, and I guess I kind of understand the idea, like YouTube, you subscribe, but you also hit the bell to get everything, right? Kind of makes sense that way. They can kind of hit you with something to remind you and you're not overflowed because then they might unfollow you, right? Mm-hmm. Makes sense. But I just feel like if you choose to follow someone, you should be updated by them. You know what I'm saying? Yep. On YouTube alone, like, I subscribe to maybe 20 people that I absolutely love, and they still pick and choose what I'm like, oh, he posted a video a week ago? How have I not known? You know?
Yeah. I mean, that's how subscriptions works. I mean, what if you subscribed to have, you know, your Netflix membership or Netflix account, and Netflix was just like, hey, you know, I know that you like this show. But we're only going to give you this show sometimes every once in a while when we think that you might be in the mood for that show. And then we'll post that show. It's like, no, I've subscribed to Netflix so I could watch this freaking show and you should give me this show. That's how it works. And somehow Instagram and Facebook have that completely mixed up and it's stupid. Yeah. There's a lot of people that don't think that way too. You know, they're like, I love Instagram.
I know. It's like, you love, like, the
platform. Yeah, because you're a hot girl in a bikini.
Yeah, I know. And even knowing that, it's just like, as a consumer, you love consuming it. Like, it's just, you consume all of it, but it's just like when you post to it, and it might not even be creator wise. I mean, I have friends that are like, did you see that I got engaged? Which I think is a huge moment. And Facebook sometimes, like with big moments like that, I got a new car or whatever, Facebook somehow knows and I'll be like, oh, here's this. I'm like, oh, that's cool. But my friend got engaged and I'm just like, how is this not on my Facebook? Like, what? Like, and I have to go to his page posted like 18 hours ago. And I'm like, I've been on Facebook like 10 times since then.
Yes.
It's interesting, man.
Every morning you'll wake up to the notification like, here's someone you don't know. It's their birthday.
I know, right? You see that too.
And it's like, I don't even know them, but somehow we're friends and it's their birthday. Cool. But I'm not like going to see my best friend's engagement.
It's so weird. Yeah. It's such a weird dichotomy. The whole thing, man. It's very, and that's what another thing I mentioned on the show too, is you can be so talented, which I feel like you yourself even have so much talent.
Thank you.
But that is seriously only half the work. Like, the rest of it is trying to fight through this clutter of other people, trying to say that showing that your content is better, trying to work with the algorithms, trying to market, advertise, trying to post, try to be consistent. Like, you have to do all of these things on the side. You can't just anymore be like, you're a great singer, here's a record or here's a label. Like, you have to be like, oh, you're a great singer. Well, can you edit? Can you post? Do you know how to audio works? Do you know how to do thumbnails? Do you know how to post consistently? Do you know how to blah, 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 blah? Like, it's so much more now.
It's very entrepreneurial. Yeah,
it is. I feel like it really is, man. It's a struggle. It's a grind.
Yep. But it's also, you got to just work hard to find joy in the journey. I mean, I know that's kind of cliche, but like I said, now I have so much knowledge about production that I wouldn't have had otherwise, you know. Or now I know what it's like to go viral and I can answer people's questions, you know. But also I feel like that was a weird phase where like lots of random viral videos were happening, and it's different now. Now TikTok is just like everything's a viral video, but used to be kind of a rare thing.
Yeah, I know, it really was, because it was a viral video, everybody's seen it. But now it's like, and it's not even that, we're talking video. The platform is overwhelmed by memes. Yep. It's all memes, man. Up and down everything. It's just cluttered with stuff.
But I love TikTok. I love that everyone's got a shot, you know.
Yeah, I love that too. And I, dude, you got to post. I just know, you know, I saying there's just some guests I feel like, I can't remember who it was, like a band or something. I'm like, dude, I would love to see TikToks of like bands messing around or doing whatever backstage. Like, it'd just be so cool. But seeing beatbox, I would just open up. Just watch you go viral again, where like, cause you know, TikTok is like, you can go big from when people reshare, like they'll redo it. You know, you do a challenge or whatever, and they'll take your audio and redo it. Do something like that, bro. It'd be so interesting to see.
Yeah, try it. Just try to duet this.
Just try to, yeah. Just start going.
And everyone's like, go, 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 go,
go. It's too epic, man. It's too epic. Parker, I gotta thank you so much, man, for coming on the podcast.
It is a pleasure, dude. I was really excited to, well, I've been really excited to join you, and it's just taken a while, but yeah, I'm glad to be here. Hopefully I was able to add some kind of entertainment and value to those listening.
Oh yes, you have, man. Even just me personally, there's just so much to learn from you, and I just love and respect that you went through the viral thing, but you're still pushing out there, you're still trying to make content, you're still trying to push yourself out there more than ever. You know, I appreciate that.
Absolutely. You too, man. We gotta keep cranking out the content, you know, keep entertaining people, keep giving them what they need, what they want, especially right now in quarantine. You know, everyone's bored and looking for content, so we're here to provide that.
Yep, let's give it to it. Give it to the people.
Give it to the people.
Thank you guys for watching. Peace out.